I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Beginning the 20th of June, 2013, at the Arts Club's Granville Island stage is a production of Avenue Q. It's a Broadway musical comedy for adults that features full puppet nudity and more. It was a big hit on Broadway when it opened in 2003, winning Tony Awards for Best Book, Best Score, and Best Musical. I'll get this production's director, Peter Jorgensen, to tell us about the show. It's a funny show with a catchy score and witty dialogue that reflects contemporary life in a fun way. If you're looking for a politically correct show, this ain't it. Visit artsclub.com for tickets and information on the show. Peter Jorgensen is a talented actor in his own right. He is also a singer, writer, and choreographer. He is a graduate of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York. He went on to perform in a number of off-Broadway productions, including Young Moses, of which he played the title role. He has appeared in countless productions for all the major companies in this town and directed numerous productions for them as well. He's won awards for his acting and directing. He was recently seen in the title role of Don Juan for the Blackbird Theater. He is also an artistic producer with Patrick Street Productions, a company he founded with his wife, Katie Wright. PeterJorgensen.com is the website for more. Avenue Q runs until the 3rd of August. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Peter Jorgensen. Mr. Jorgensen, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm exhausted just listening to my bio.
Well, you had to live it, so, I mean, it must be a lot more exhausting doing that, right?
Well, the great thing about the business we're in is that it's... You know, it provides as much energy as it costs us sometimes, so it's a give-and-take kind of thing.
Yeah, now, I could have listed all the credits that you've performed just in this town, and we wouldn't have enough time on the tape to do that. I think I first saw you, and I'm surprised I didn't see it on your bio on your website, was in a show called Alley Cats.
Yes, the infamous now, yeah. Alley Cats, for that the small amount of people that came out to see it. Were you there opening night?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, that was a hoot.
I went back to read some of the reviews. I actually forgot that Rex Harrington was in it, but yeah. I do remember you were in it, and the reviews chronicle what an opening night that was.
Yeah, it was, you know what, it was... everything theater should be in the best and worst ways possible. but it's provided a lot of stories around, around beers and bars around town.
Yeah, I'll bet, yeah. So tell us about Avenue Q and what folks can expect. I purposefully did not explain what happens because I haven't seen it myself, but I'm familiar with the score, familiar with the cast recording,
sure.
And the show. There are puppets, right?
Yeah, like Sesame Street Muppet style puppets in the show. Which at first when I started directing it was a bit disconcerting. I had a moment of out of body experience going, this is odd. I'm directing Muppets, and then I realized it's just the same as directing actors in a bizarre way.
Really?
You know, because it's all about trying to give them the kind of behavior that they need in order to communicate the thoughts and feelings of the characters in the story. And the story is about Princeton, who's a young guy who's just graduated. Princeton's a Muppet character, and he's just graduated from university with a BA in English, and he doesn't know what to do with his life. And he's looking for a place to stay, and he kind of starts at Avenue A, but everything's so expensive, he eventually ends up at Avenue Q, where the rent's finally cheap enough for him to get a place and start his life. And so the show's really speaks to, in a way, I think it's actually more timely now than when it came out, because I think it's even harder now for this generation of people coming right out of university to really get their lives going, just to find a place and start their lives and get a career going. And the show, although it's this hysterical, irreverent, really silly, ridiculous, outrageous comedy, at the center of it is this beautiful story of young adults trying to learn life's lessons.
And even though there are puppets in the show, it's not for kids, right?
No, and we can't stress that enough. enough. And, you know, in researching the show, is, you know, going around YouTube, seeing what I could find, and I found a YouTube clip of a talk back with the Broadway cast, and they were asked a similar question about kids coming to see the show, and they say it was pretty frequent that they, about 5 minutes into the show or so, parents would start to pop up and haul their kids out of the theater, because it doesn't take long before you realize it's really not for kids, and, you know, a lot of parents like to say, well, my kid's a bit mature. It's not for kids.
Yeah.
Swearing, there's sexuality. Yes, they're really fuzzy, funny-looking Muppets, but they're doing very adult things in this show, which is makes it all the more fun for adults.
And the music in the show, it's sort of, it's traditional sort of Broadway. It's not, like, next to normal or anything, right?
Yeah, it's not, you know, I guess you would classify it as solid, is contemporary musical comedy material. And one of the things I really love about the show is that you can tell that the creators were really knowledgeable about the form of musical theater and the history of musical theater, because in all, you know, throughout the show, it actually reaches back through you know, a century of musical comedy traditions, and it reinvents those traditions in surprising, shocking, delightful ways, you know, all throughout the show. And it's nice to see that in young writers, because a lot of contemporary musicals, I often feel like they haven't listened to anything that came before them. They're trying to invent something new without realizing what came before them. And I think one of the things that Avenue Q is so refreshing is because they really did know what came before them.
And is this where musical theater is today? I mean, the guys that wrote this went on to write other shows that have become popular, right?
Yeah, the composer went on to write the ridiculously popular Book of Mormon that's running on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
So he's had a lot of success, and I think it does reflect where, you know, a part of where musical theater is today. I think it certainly reflects in the best way possible where musical comedy is today. You know, when you come, it seems like there's not much to it. As you say, the songs are really fun. They're easy to kind of sing along to, and you'll leave the theater, you know, humming at least a few of them.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, they were no slouches, the team that wrote them. So there's great craft in these songs. They're structured really well. The lyrics are really, really witty. They hang on the melodies really well. So I think the reason that they seem so simple and easy is because the craft of the writers is so strong, and that's how it should be. You know, when you're trying to create a musical, you don't want, you know, I don't think you want the audience to necessarily hear or see or witness the sweat and tears of the writers in creating a show.
There are puppets in the show, but there are also actors in the show. So it's sort of like Sesame Street, where you have people interacting with the puppets and the sort. You mentioned that it was you were challenged by it at first, but what's that been like working with? I mean, in terms of casting, did you have to find people that could operate puppets?
That was a big part of it. At the end of the day, most of the team are people with really strong musical theater background. But I was really thrilled. We had there's a woman in the cast named Jenny Cassidy, and she's got a really extensive puppeteering background. And before that, she studied theater, but she's been working as a puppeteer in movies and in film that shoot around town, making kind of a career of it. And she came out for the show, and I'm so grateful, because she's got so much expertise, and she's passing on all those little tricks of the trade to the other puppeteers in the cast, who are all doing amazingly well. I mean, they're such a sharp cast. We've got Scott Bellis, who Vancouver audiences know very well from Bart on the Beach, which he's done a number of seasons at, and you know, many other plays in for all the companies here. He's just one of the best actors we have in town. So he's doing one of the you know, a couple of the puppet characters. And he's just such a smart actor. I think Scott can adapt to any task and any challenge, and it's wonderful to see him working with the puppets and make them come to life. And it's quite funny in rehearsals because he often laughs at his own Muppets, making himself laugh through his own Muppet. But he's just having, you know, a delightful time. And Kayla Dunbar plays Kate Monster and Lucy the Slut, and she's a younger actress, really up and coming, bright young talent that I've known for a number of years, and it's really fun to see her operate the Muppets that she operates. And again, she's so strong in her body; she moves so well, and is again so sharp and so with all the thoughts and the ideas that they're trying to communicate, and it all, you know, gets translated through these Muppets.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much the puppeteers disappear when you're watching them. It's a few moments of, oh, there's a puppeteer there, and then you're transfixed on the faces of these Muppets. They're so captivating. It's really a remarkable thing to watch.
There's a Gary Coleman character in the show, I understand, but that's not a puppet. That's a real person, right?
That's a person. It was written to be played by a female as well. We've got a wonderful actress named Evangelia from Toronto, and she's been great. She actually played the role before, and she's tons of fun. And Gary's a really tricky character, because I think there's immediately, when you say, and here's Gary Coleman, the audience has expectations of what that will be.
Yeah.
So we've been discussing, you know, how to both play into those expectations and break those expectations, and trying to find the right energy for that character and the right tone for that character, so that audiences will suspend their disbelief and go along with the idea that this is Gary Coleman here as the superintendent of the buildings on Avenue Q.
How do you approach directing something like this? Had you seen it on Broadway before?
You know, I've never seen it, actually. And I've known the cast recording since it was released, and I remember putting it on for the first time and just busting a gut laughing,
yeah,
and listening my way through all these songs. But I didn't see a production, and in a way I'm glad I didn't. Because I think it's a tricky show in that you can't stray too far from what the Broadway production is. It's a really, really specific kind of show. But at the same time, you don't want to just reproduce what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So in creating the design and the video design and the sound design and costume design, I'm actually kind of grateful in a way that I wasn't super familiar with the Broadway production. Of course, you can watch clips online, and I did that, and you listen and you look at pictures and all that kind of stuff. But then you have to kind of step away from that stuff, and you chat with all your designers and see what they get excited about, and you try to find your own little variations on things that are true to the piece, but also help to freshen it up a bit.
Where did you grow up? Here in Vancouver?
I was born and raised in North Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was 20, I went off to New York to study, as you said in my bio there. So I spent, I lived and worked in, lived, studied, and then worked in New York for a little over 3 years. And then came back to Vancouver to do a production of Forever Plaid that was at the Gateway Theater. And while I was doing that, was when I auditioned for my first Arts Club show, which was She Loves Me at the Stanley 12 years ago now. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And kind of the rest is history from there.
The American Musical and Dramatic Academy, that's in New York. You mentioned that just now. Are there people that you studied with that we might be familiar with today?
There's a number of alumni that are that you'll be familiar with. Jesse Tyler Ferguson is probably the most well-known.
The guy from Modern Family, right?
Yeah. But there's a number that are working, you know, in musical theater all over the world, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was really great. I mean, if you're studying, I think one of the best things that the school has going for is the fact that it's in Manhattan and being immersed in, you know, in the culture of musical theater was amazing. You know, to be able to be living in Manhattan and not only going to school there, but to be able to go and see Broadway shows and see the best of the best doing their work and either succeeding at it or failing at it, you learn so much from watching that, as well as just having so many resources available for you. I mean, I'm a cast recording junkie, and that really started in New York, because you can go into your average record store in New York and they have a gigantic cast recording section that you can, you know, and I would go usually once a month and blow way more money than I should have when I was 20-something and just take home cast recordings that I was unfamiliar with just to put them on and listen to them and see what people were doing. But you can't walk into a record store here, although now you just go to iTunes and download what you want to get. So it's a different world, I guess.
Did you always want to go into show business?
You know, when I was growing up, it was, I was really interested in music. You know, my parents put me in piano classes when I was 6, and then, you know, I picked up guitar and trumpet and French horn and started singing. And so when I was about in 10th grade was when I started getting more and, you know, more seriously into music. And I actually did a year of full-time studies in the jazz program at Capilano, then college, now university, which was really great. But I finished that year and realized that, you know, jazz wasn't kind of what was really turning my crank. And I'd started working in community musicals, and I was working with Uncle Randy Productions in North Vancouver. And we did a production of Into the Woods, and that introduced me to Stephen Sondheim. And it's really the works of Stephen Sondheim that I think excited me. There was something about the use of music to tell stories that just, you know, struck a chord with me, so to speak. And I became just so fascinated with the idea of musical storytelling. And it was after that I went to New York to study the craft.
And then when did you start directing? I've always wondered that when actors go into that line of work, sort of that field. I mean, is that something that all actors want to do?
Well, no, I don't think it's for all actors. I think it's something I always had in the back of my mind as something that I wanted to do. And, you know, so I knew I wanted to do it, and the kind of my earlier directing experiences that came partly out of the desire to direct and partly out of necessity. I had, I was really fortunate to have a lot of opportunity as an actor, when I did come back home. And, I worked for a number of years doing, you know, 3 or 4 productions a year, which is really amazing for a young actor. And, but then, of course, you hit the wall and all of a sudden you finish a show and there's not another show coming. And, you know, I think every actor hits that at some point. And I was left going, well, what am I going to do? I need to find some way to make money. So I contacted Footlight Theater, which is another amateur company that functions and runs in Burnaby.
Mm-hmm.
And I struck up a relationship with them. So the first kind of, you know, bigger show I directed was an amateur production of Bye Bye Birdie a number of years ago, and that's when it started, and it felt like a good fit for me, and I really cut my teeth directorially in directing amateur musicals, which was really great. But then again, you can only go so far with amateur troupes before you start, you know, as an artist wanting to do more and say more and accomplish more. And I wanted to make that leap to directing professionals, and so that's when my wife and I decided to start producing, and I went back to the Into the Woods. It was sort of first time with the show, and produced it at the Culch in a very exciting production with an amazing cast. It was a bit of a dream come true, and I knew after directing that and producing that I was hooked, because it felt like that's really what I was meant to be doing.
And the producing thing, you're still doing that. I understand the company that you guys founded are involved in something called the York Theater, is that right?
Well, we're going to be producing a show there next season, which the York is a historic theater in Vancouver. It's on Commercial Drive. It was built in 1913, but it's been run down and hasn't been operating for a number of years, but it's they're restoring it right now as we speak, and it should the first production should be there in December. It's being operated by the Culch, and they're going to do the inaugural production there. I think it's going to be some sort of a pantomime there to open things up. And then, we're going to present a couple of shows there next year, a review of Rodgers and Hammerstein that I've actually created myself. Uh-huh. And then a brilliant musical called Floyd Collins, which was written by the composer Adam Gettle, who is the same composer that wrote The Light in the Piazza, which was the last show that we produced a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That production won awards in the Sword, if I recall, right?
It was a very rewarding experience, and it won multiple awards, and we were very proud of the show, and it's nice to have that validation from the community as well. We won a number of Ovation Awards, including Best Production, and a number of Jesse Awards as well, including Best Production that year. So we were really, really proud of that show. That show, I think, really represents in a large way for what I love the most about musical theater, and how, again, with the use of music in storytelling, we can reach for such things that are so much bigger than ourselves. And that show is so expansive and expressive, and it was so great to dig into that material. So I'm really looking forward to returning to that kind of show again with Floyd Collins, because it does much of the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, until then, we'll go check out Avenue Q, and I appreciate your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for the interview. It's been great.
And the website for more, peterjorgensen.com, artsclub.com for tickets and information. Avenue Q runs until August the 3rd at the Granville Island Stage. Peter Jorgensen, its director, on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Ponto.